Rush Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now, you'll hear it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
It is the Rob Carson Show. Hello, and welcome to Thursday. We've got a celebrity cage match. Rob Carson in the cage with Rob Schmidt from Newsmax and Carrie Lake, the next governor of Arizona. Actually, it's just going to be my show, but I have Carrie Lake from Arizona, who's going to be the next governor of Arizona and a possible presidential candidate. She has a chance, unlike Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney thinks she's going to become the president. Oh, my God in heaven. Wow. And then Rob Schmidt from Newsmax, who is awesome. If you've ever seen Newsmax television, Rob Schmidt's doing a terrific series on the raid at Mar-a-Lago, and they're both going to join us today. That's huge, right? That's a good start. I think it's a darn good start. I think right now you should tell all your friends about it and immediately, don't go anywhere. Yeah, I was thinking a lot about this Inflation Reduction Act and how we were lied to. And actually the AP this morning literally is no longer calling it the Inflation Reduction Act. They're not they've completely lost the name because they know how stupid it is and how much you've been played and how Soviet Union it was that the Democrats would call it the Inflation Reduction Act because it has nothing to do with an inflation reduction. Hell, even somebody like Joe Manchin says that. Joe Manchin, Satan's nephew. He even said that, and then he promised yesterday that I'm gonna monitor this IRS, and I'm going to make sure that the IRS, all 87,000 armed agents, don't go after Americans. So, okay, Joe, you keep telling yourself that, buddy. Oh, yeah, by the way, you and Liz Cheney are both scrod. When you're out of office, you're done. You're done. Find something else to do. That said, we were told, sold a bill of goods with regard to the Inflation Reduction Act, and it was forced through by reconciliation against the will of the American people. I just mentioned that as well before I get to my main point here. 13% of Americans think the Inflation Reduction Act is actually going to reduce inflation. So that would say to me that if they're calling it the Inflation Reduction Act, which they did before it was passed through reconciliation against the will of the American people, if only 13% think that's going to happen, then I would assume also that more than 13%, in fact, I would say probably the lion's share of Americans didn't want it to pass because they know that massive government spending is how we got where we are right now with 40-year high inflation. Right, so all of that. We got all of that right there, right? But that said, they went ahead, they called it the Inflation Reduction Act like we wouldn't, maybe even consume some media or maybe listen to the Rob Carson Show or whatever and find out that it was all a big lie. So I have actually a personal plan how to use the same principles in my life, and I think you should seriously listen. For instance, here is the Energy Secretary, Jennifer Granholm, who is cute as a bug's ear but doesn't know bleep from a hole in the ground as far as energy. But here's what she's saying about what is going to happen with the Inflation Reduction Plan. What it is and what you need to do is that if you're going to enjoy all the savings and the decrease in inflation, you've got to spend tens and perhaps hundreds of thousands of dollars of money to get there.
Oh, this first of all, immediately, people will be able to lower the fuel costs in their home. There's a 30% tax credit that you can claim in 2022 for installing energy efficient windows.
And you can start talking about windows at around, $12,000 to $15,000 for your entire house.
Heat pumps, energy efficient appliances.
That's going to be the appliances, probably $4,000 to $5,000. Heat pump could be $10,000.
That is right away. And on top of that, of course,
what
if
else?
Citizens want to install solar panels.
Solar panels, thousands of dollars.
On their roofs that they can generate their own power. Another 30% tax credit.
You're going to save so much money by spending so much money.
And,
it's
of
crazy.
Course, there's the tax credits that are at the dealership for the automotive sector.
This is fantastic. You get a $7,500 tax credit on new EVs, just as Ford announces that all of their new EVs are going up in price by a minimum of $6,500. It's like Ford almost kind of planned on this.
For electric vehicles.
Weird.
So, and if you install an electric vehicle.
So now they're going to make double profit.
Charging station in your home, you can also get a tax credit.
That's a couple thousand dollars for the charging thing on your new car that's going to cost you $70,000.
So there's many ways that this bill lowers the costs for everyday citizens. And that's one of the reasons why it's anti-inflationary, is to lower the costs.
So, you know, what I've decided to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative in my personal life by saying that my plan, which, by the way, has gotten a good deal of pushback from my wife, and that is to get my first new car since 2004. All right, I am not at a new car. I've been driving old cars. The three cars in my driveway have the combined age of Nancy Pelosi and the combined mileage of Kamala Harris. Okay, that said, I am calling my plan. Don't tell her. Don't tell her that I'm going to keep on the Bronco thing. Don't. If you know her, don't tell her. Don't tell her. I'm going to tell her I have a new plan for the family budget. And we are going to call it the Happy Fun Time Awesome Family Enrichment Plan. And that's what we're going to do. And I'm going to tell her that by investing in projects that I have, the Bronco, that we are going to end up saving a lot of money. And if I need any, support, I can play her. Jennifer Granholm right there. Because, I mean, she convinced you, right? So it's the Happy Fun Time Awesome Family Enrichment Plan. That's what we're going to call it. And if I need to add some things to kind of sweeten things up and distract like the federal government does now with everything, it's not lying. I mean, it's bending the truth. It's taking the truth and doing this to it. But anyway, so the Happy Fun Time Awesome Family Richard Plant, I'm going to tell her that it is HGTV Property Brothers approved. I'm going to tell her that, I don't know if you know about this, but the Property Brothers on HGTV, you know, the guys that really aren't like a contractor and a realtor, they're just models, but they're worth hundreds of billions of dollars. Property Brothers approved. Man, I'll just bring it up in conversation. We'll be sitting there, you know, be watching HGTV like she always makes me do. And I'll be going, boy, you know, I think one of the Property Brothers has a new Bronco. Just kind of slide it out there. Just a new Bronco. Have you seen those Broncos? Those things are sweet. I hear that if you buy a Bronco, you're going to save some money because the Property Brothers, they got one. And then I'm going to say, as part of the deal, that we are going to watch HGTV every night, all night, for the near future. Just going to promise that down the line, hoping that she, like us, will forget that 87,000 armed IRS agents are going to swarm the country. I'll just, down the road, when the new Bronco arrives, I've been waiting 9 months already, and they're saying at least another year. So kudos to our transportation secretary, Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Good job, buddy. I've only got another year to wait. And that's like conservative. So maybe a year and a half. So down the road, when I do get the car, the new Bronco, then she may have forgotten that this was part of the Happy Fun Time Awesome Family Enrichment Plan, supported by the Property Brothers from HGTV. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do, because that's what they did to you and me. That's what they did, and they once they got it through, then they realized that, you know, they had to drop that whole thing, and they've had, like, Jamie Raskin from Maryland, and they've had, oh, you know, all sorts of people say that it's really, really not working, and it's really not about inflation reduction. It's actually really about the environment and your kids and all that stuff, you know, and the 87,000 IRS agents are going to break down your doors and destroy you and all that. But anyway, here's Matt Gaetz. Matt Gaetz is awesome. Matt Gaetz, a congressman from Florida, talking about the Inflation Reduction Act.
It sounds like Joe Biden's vision for America is an armed IRS agent in an electric car on an anti-racist road somewhere. And just the
happy fun time
lack of self-awareness here is so pronounced. These Biden government officials are making Liz Cheney look humble. I mean, you can't eat your way skinny. You can't drink.
Yeah, tried that. Been trying that for a while, actually. Nah, hadn't worked.
Drink yourself sober, and you.
Yeah, yeah, did that for a while too. Not anymore.
Can't spend your way out of inflation, which is
happy fun time.
It's probably why every Democrat senator, from Joe Manchin to even Bernie Sanders, is saying that this won't reduce inflation. It does do some very dangerous things.
We didn't. Blah 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 blah. Property Brothers love this plan.
That $25 million you mentioned from the Government Accountability Office exists to ensure.
Ship a Joanna. family approved.
Sure, that every dollar of this $750 billion is spent to advance the left's version of equity. Now, that's not equal opportunity. That means we all end up in the same place in all of these circumstances.
Yeah.
I mean, Tucker, the American people wanted cheap gas.
Yeah, but we'll all be equally poor.
Safe streets and a secure border. And instead, we've got a climate core and a war on cow farts and a bunch of bureaucrats yelling at crops and farmers, calling them
he said fart
racist. How is that in any way delivering for our country?
Yeah.
Well, it's not. It's not. But like I said, you know, if you just put a label on it, you put a label, it's the Inflation Reduction Act, then it's fine. But, you know, Joe Manchin, even though he scrawled his constituents in West Virginia, he says that he personally is going to make sure that the IRS does not abuse people like they did with Republicans when Lois Lerner was there.
Follow all the way through. I'm going to follow to make sure the IRS doesn't harass anybody. And I would encourage all
speaking of cow farts, what's between his ears?
My all of my political.
I think he literally farts out of his ears.
Friends to make sure their staffs are in contact with the IRS. I want to make sure the EPA doesn't overreach.
The EPA's budget was quadrupled from $40 billion, from $10 to $40 billion.
And it's balanced of how they do it. You know, there's always a way to go out. Rather than going out with a cease and desist order, go out with an idea of how you make it better. Work together. Things of that sort. We've got to do things again. America's got to come together.
Yeah, you know, America does, and they have come together. Last night, it was 70% of Americans think the country is going in the wrong direction. So there's that there, Jobo. So we got a little bit more on the inflation. We have got a whole bunch on the raid at Mar-a-Lago. We have a spectacular guest. We have a phone line here that is made for you to call me right now, 800-922-6680. What's on your mind? 800-922-6680. This, my friends, is a Thursday edition of the Rob Carson. Happy fun time, Rob Carson. Awesome Power Hour show.
If the mainstream media, big social media, and the Democrat Party say you spread disinformation, it means you know the truth.
The important is you said the truth.
It's the Rob Carson Show.
Now, I'm just talking to cisgendered males out there who've been men their entire lives like me. There was college, but I'm kidding. Anyway, but for the men out there in the audience, if you have something that you've been thinking about, maybe it's a table saw. I'm just going to show my masculine side now. If you want a table saw or there's something you've been thinking about, maybe you want a man cave or whatever, just call it something else. My first new car, if I ever get it, when Pete Buttigieg finally fixes the, I'm never going to get the car. I just realized it. Pete Buttigieg is in charge of transportation. I'm never going to get the car. Anyway, but if I ever do get the car, and if Pete Buttigieg or any of the cabinet members for the Biden administration ever do anything that they are charged with doing, then I will get the new Bronco that I ordered 9 months ago that they say it is at least a year, maybe a year and a half out, and I'm calling it the Happy Fun Time Awesome Family Enrichment Plan. I would encourage you to try that with your sig other. And be careful, because there's a really good chance she might try to suffocate you in your sleep. But, you know, it's something you might want to try. So the economy's terrible. I guess unemployment stayed the same, which is terrible, because a lot of people are working two jobs, three jobs, and coming out of retirement to work. That's what it's all about. That's why so many people are working. But Target. Their profits have fallen a staggering, are you ready? 90%. This is going to be really problematic for cul-de-sac dwelling women who drink Chardonnay out of those big metal, what are those big metal like thermoses with the tops on them? And they're really expensive. Anyway, that's what a lot of the moms do when they go to soccer, you know, watch your kids play soccer and sit there in their foldable chair and drink Chardonnay. Anyway, they're going to be upset about this. So yoga pants wearing Target shopping mom's going to be a little upset about this. 90% profits. This is epic. This is it. So higher food and gas prices cutting into spending on clothes and home goods. TJ Maxx, which owns Marshalls and Home Goods, slashed its profit forecast. Walmart fared better because, you know, Walmart. kind of interesting. Other low-income consumers, especially hard, and discount clothing realtors like Burlington Stores and Ross Stores have seen some of the biggest pullbacks in spending. I went to Burlington Coat Factory the other day. I'd never been in one. And you ever seen any one of the Mad Max movies? Kind of like that. I mean, kind of like that. It was bizarre. But anyway, Target suffering. I don't know if you know Jerome Powell. He's the Fed director, and he says that we are not in a recession, despite that we are in a recession that has been defined by the same characteristics, 2 quarters of negative growth in a row. But, of course, the Biden administration changed that, and they're saying everything's cool.
So I do not think the U.S. is currently in a recession. And the reason is there are just too many areas of the economy that are performing, too well.
Like Target. Oh, never mind.
Of course, I would point to the labor market in particular.
Two to three jobs.
As I mentioned, it's true that growth is slowing, and for reasons that we understand, really the growth was extraordinarily high last year, 5.5%.
Yeah, growth is like slowing like a, 16-year-old boy. It just kind of stops right there. And you know what? Even John Harwood on CNN yesterday said that the Inflation Reduction Act was little more than a marketing tool. You know, like the happy fun time, what did I call it? Happy fun time, awesome family enrichment plan.
No, it doesn't live up to its name. Let's be real. They called it the Inflation Reduction Act as a marketing device, in part to lock down the vote of Joe Manchin, or to reassure Joe Manchin that they were focused on his issue. It is going to have a negligible effect on inflation. If it does anything, it might reduce inflation a tiny, tiny bit, but that's not what it's about. What it's about is climate. It's about
Joe Manchin became the most expensive prostitute in the history of the planet.
About health policy, extending Obamacare subsidies.
Even more expensive than some of the women that Hunter Biden hired.
Lowering prescription drug costs by letting Medicare negotiate.
He just prostituted his constituents.
And taxing.
Because they're the ones we're going to have to put out.
Big corporations. That's the core element of the plan. If it does anything appreciable to reduce inflation, that's gravy.
Yeah. It's just not going to do a D word for it. You got played. Well, you didn't get played because you don't believe it. They just rammed it through.
A recession, that is what we're in. No one can deny.
This is Jim Gossett.
The White House is a tempting spin, but the numbers do not lie.
But Joe does.
The GDP was negative for 2 quarters in a row.
That's the definition.
That's a recession, and it's always been time to face the music, Joe.
No, it's this way, buddy.
You see, it's still a recession by any other name. Biden's denial is lame.
It's pathetic.
A recession, that is what we've got. Joe and Janet Yellen are lying a lot. A recession by any other name. La, 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 la. Biden, he is too
late. I think the next spending bill should, for every able-bodied adult in America, buy you a bottle of wine, a dinner for two at a nice restaurant, and some sort of prophylactic, because you're going to get screwed by the government. They might as well wine and dine you first rather than just lying about their intentions like they did just now on the Inflation Reduction Act. Some thoughts on the economy. Now, coming up, I've got a ton of stuff with regard to the raid at Mar-a-Lago. And then also, what the PPE went for. You know, all those loans for the COVID? Well, it went to a lot of really rich people, a lot of really rich white people, and very few poor people of color. I know it's going to come as a big surprise to you. That is on the way. The number here, guys, is 800-922-6680. Carrie Lake, next hour. Rob Schmidt, Newsmax. The hour after that. Don't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to remind you to share the show with others, because Carrie Lake is going to be joining us. She's a rock star. She is taking Arizona by storm. I can't wait. She's got to become the governor, guys. She's going to turn the illegal immigration wave in Arizona around. She's going to hold those accountable for what happened in 2020. Ooh, shh, be quiet. Don't be a, what are we called now? Deniers. Don't be a denier. But anyway, there's a lot of good things happening, and she's going to turn things around in the state of Arizona, and she's awesome. So we're going to talk to her at the bottom of the next hour. I just want to mention, you know, the PPE, all that money that was our money that the government spent to bring us out of COVID, because the government shut down businesses, forced businesses to close down. Remember, I don't know if you knew this. Do you remember the time that you couldn't go to church or go outside or were threatened or maybe fired and your business got shut down because of the government and it was all nonsense and your kids missed so much school and now they're really far behind, and at least you know, half of American teenagers who are thinking about who thought about suicide, just that sort of stuff, you know, the depression, the cutting, the whole thing and all that. Well, apparently the PPE went to a lot of really rich people, and I'm presuming that many of these people are Democrats. For instance, Kanye West, Reese Witherspoon, Khloe Kardashian, she's an internet skank, Tom Brady, and Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul, took millions in PPP loans. Kanye West's Yeezy LLC borrowed $2,300,000, about $1.7 million spent on payroll, and it was all forgiven. The government just said, keep it. Khloe Kardashian's denim brand, Good American LLC, loaned $1.2 million, mostly for payroll of its 57 workers, and, you know, just keep it. Just go ahead and keep it. $953 billion. And they say that 15% of PPP loans, about $76 billion, were completely fraudulent. If you were the head of a company that had that sort of rate of failure, you'd be fired summarily. By the way, Kanye West, with all the money, he's a net worth of $2 billion, and he got a whole bunch of money. It's crazy, the money. Yeah, that's where your money went. God, you're so being played. But you're not being played anymore. Misery for millions. Fed will keep raising interest rates after seeing little evidence that inflation is easing. I thought the Inflation Reduction Act was going to cure that. And they predict it to remain high for a time. And they're saying that the only way to slow things down is to really effectively, what some people are floating now, is they double interest rates. So your 6-7% interest rate would be 12-14, which is just like when Jimmy Carter was the president. Well, if you knew that. I uncovered some great audio the other day. This is a debate, Ronald Reagan with Jimmy Carter, and we are repeating history. The Democrats are repeating history, and they're doing the same SH now.
Since then, he has blamed the people for inflation, OPEC. He's blamed the Federal Reserve System.
Vladimir Putin.
He has blamed the lack of productivity, the American people. He has then accused the people of living too well. And
that is Barack Obama.
That we must share in scarcity. We must sacrifice.
Barack Obama.
And get used to doing with less. We don't have inflation because the people are living too well. We have inflation because the government is living too well.
And I submit as an article of evidence, Nancy Pelosi's $24,000 refrigerator with $12 per pint ice cream while you're shopping at Dollar General. What's on the menu tonight? What are we having? Are we having Hamburger Helper without the hamburger? You know, it's really good. I learned that from the movie Vacation. Here's a little bit more from Ronald Reagan taking Jimmy Carter to the woodshed.
Since then, he has blamed the people for inflation, OPEC.
I already did that one, so I'm going to go ahead and try this one right here. This is Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan.
Mr. Ellis, I think this idea that has been spawned here in our country, that inflation somehow came upon us like a plague and therefore it's uncontrollable and no one can do anything.
Putin's war, people. It was Putin's war.
About it is entirely spurious.
For a year before, it actually was Putin's war.
And it's dangerous to say this to the people. When Mr. Carter became president, inflation was 4.8%, as you said. It had been cut
2% when Donald Trump was in office.
And 2 by President Gerald Ford. It is now running at 12.7%. President Carter also has spoken of the new jobs created. Well, we always, with the normal growth...
2 and 3 jobs.
...in our country, an increase in population, increase the number of jobs. But that can't hide the fact that there are 8 million men and women out of work in America today, and 2 million of those...
You know why fewer people are filing for unemployment? Because 2 or 3 jobs pays better than unemployment now.
...their jobs in just the last few months. Mr. Carter had also promised that he would not use unemployment as a tool to fight against inflation.
Well, he did for a while. Joe Biden did it for a while.
And yet his 1980 economic message stated that we would reduce productivity and gross national product and increase unemployment in order to get a handle on inflation, because in January, at the beginning of the year, it was more than 18%.
Well, that's crazy. And finally,
we have inflation because government revenues have not kept pace with government spending.
And what happens?
I see my time is running out here. I'll have to get this down very fast. Yes, you can lick inflation by increasing productivity and by decreasing the cost of government to the place that we have balanced budgets and are no longer running, grinding out printing press money, flooding the market with it, because the government is spending more than it takes in. And my economic plan calls for that.
And it
the
works.
President's economic plan calls for increasing the taxes to the point that we finally take so much money away from the people that we can balance the budget in that way. But we will have a very poor nation and a very unsound economy if we follow that path.
Yep, and they're following the same path. Let's go to my friend Sean in Live Oak, California, home of one of our affiliates, a great affiliate, KSCO. Hello, my friend. What's up?
Well, the other thing that I sort of observed what has happened with the raid in Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
It seems like the FBI is thoroughly infected with Trump derangement syndrome.
Of course.
And it's the other thing that comes with that is that Democratic mantra, by any means necessary, it seems like they don't think that the Fourth Amendment means anything,
yes.
Unreasonable search and seizure. And
yeah.
I guess the other thing that I've sort of observed with the FBI is I've observed something, you know, it's, you know what's worse than catching the stupid?
What?
Catching the pathetic stupid.
That's the new variant. That's true. We got a new variant there, Sean. All right, bro. Thanks for the call.
Okay, bye.
I do appreciate it. That is fantastic. The new variant. It's the pathetic stupid. So a couple things going on. Donald Trump is saying he's going to release the video Mar-a-Lago. The FBI went in and raided not only the front door, but also amphibious and a helicopter is what I've heard. Ridiculous. Never been done in our history. Never been. It's an outright affront to our history, the office of the presidency, and our form of government. There's no doubt about it. It was unnecessary, uncalled for, Stalinistic, and people have to pay for it. People have to frickin' pay for this. There have to be people who get tried and go to jail for this. And I might add, the FBI needs to be taken apart. So if you work for the FBI, I would suggest you get on the right side of history, because otherwise, you're going to be one of the guys doing 2 or 3 jobs to pay your bills. All right? This is Laura Trump, Donald Trump's daughter-in-law, talking about another thing that's not happening today. I hope the videotape comes out. Oh, my God. I hope it's so good. But the affidavit. The government is reticent to release why they got the search warrant when they went to the Hillary Clinton-loving, Donald Trump-hating magistrate to get the search warrant.
Of course we have no concerns. We want it shown, too, because, as you just said, Shannon, there was complete cooperation between my father-in-law's attorneys, anyone that was handling this situation, and the FBI, the National Archives. There was no concern whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, you fast forward 2 months, there's a raid at Mar-a-Lago. So we all would like to know as well in that affidavit.
And I got to tell you, there are a lot of people really, 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 really ticked off people about this. Here's Ted Cruz, and this is, I think, a perfect example. Encapsulation of what happened and why it happened to Donald Trump in the United States of America. Here it is right here.
Tin pot dick. No, no, no. We say peaceful transfer of power. Don't you say that. No, 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 no. Let me explain. In banana republics, tin pot dictators send their troops in to the home of the prior guy, or as they like to call Trump, the former guy.
Now, Banana Republic sounds cute and everything. You think of Carmen Miranda with a fruit salad on her head. But a lot of people get murdered in Banana Republics by the party in power.
When you send your troops in to raid the home of your predecessor, looking for evidence, because your plan is to try to lock him up, what I can tell you is in 200-plus years of our nation's history, no president has ever done that to his predecessor. Not once. None of them.
Yeah. And it's really funny because this is Rob Schmidt. Rob's going to join us in the final hour of the show today. And a brilliant, I mean, a brilliant job of interviewing Man on the Street stuff on Newsmax over the weekend that maybe you hadn't heard about because so many people focus on an F word in news out there. nothing against them. I you know, whatever. Anyway, this is one of the funniest lines about people who definitely want Donald Trump tried and convicted for something. They don't know, but they know he needs to go to jail for it.
Last week, this moment from Newsmax went viral. It was all over the country, and it was very easy to see why. Take a look.
Is this unprecedented to arrest a former president for not turning in documents?
A former president that had committed this many provable criminal acts.
But what are the provable criminal acts, I guess?
Provable criminal acts. Well, I'm done talking.
Wow. Let's hear that again. That's spectacular.
Provable criminal acts.
But what are the provable criminal acts, I guess?
This is the same response the Democrats are getting when they say, tell me something in the Inflation Reduction Act that reduces inflation. I'm not kidding. They always defer. They always distract.
Provable criminal acts. Well, I'm done talking.
Yeah, you know what?
It's too perfect, isn't it?
It's beautiful.
Okay, fine. He hasn't done anything illegal. Fine. He's just a horrible person. This is how it is. This is what they think. And this is, I mean, that's all of them. Talk to any of them.
It's not going to work. That's another thing I'll just mention. Let's go to Bob in Parkville. Bob, welcome to the Rob Carson Show. What's up, my friend?
Yes, good afternoon.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, all right. I've told you before, I'm 85 years old.
Yes, sir.
I was born during the Great Depression.
Yes, sir.
My sister was, too, and my brother was born in 1925. Brother served in the South Pacific during World War II, fighting the Japanese.
Thank you.
But I'm here to say this. I've seen a lot of presidents over the line, and I've always told you Eisenhower is the best hand to stand. No question about it.
Yes, sir.
I don't care about the rest of that crowd. None of them can match him.
Yeah.
Because I served under Eisenhower during his presidency.
Yes, sir.
But I'll tell you this. The reason this jerk that you got for president right now, I checked it out. He has okayed through the Democratic Congress $3.8 trillion in deficit spending, and he's only been in office for 20 months.
I know.
Oh, you may as well say $4
trillion. Yeah.
And I can tell you why this all started. It started during the Nixon administration. When he did away with the gold standard.
Yeah. Well, we are. I mean, obviously, there's a point where the country isn't going to be able to take it anymore. We're over $30 trillion in debt at this point. It honestly is. It is ultimately irresponsible. What?
It's been deficit spending. You may as well give a credit card to these politicians when he was in office, both the Republicans and the Democrats, because they did that. When they did away with the gold standard, it meant one thing. Paper money was king.
All right. Thank you, Bob. We got to run. We are running a little bit late here. I do appreciate your thoughts. Let's take a break. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show.
Say it loud and proud. Let's go, Brandon. It's The Rob Carson Show.
No, we say peaceful transfer of power. Don't you say that. No. Let me explain. In Banana Republics, tin pot dictators send their troops in to the home of the prior guy, or as they like to call Trump, the former guy.
Yeah.
When you send your troops in to raid the home of your predecessor, looking for evidence, because your plan is to try to lock him up, what I can tell you is in 200-plus years of our nation's history, no president has ever done that to his predecessor. Not once. None of them.
And to show extreme insensitivity, among other things, They did it while Joe Biden was on vacation. Think about this. He went on vacation. He avoided the question. He said we had 0% inflation, went on vacation. Corinne Jean-Pierre made it sound like, oh, we haven't even briefed him on it. He comes back to sign a bill that nobody wanted that arms the IRS, doubles the size of the IRS, quadruples the size of the EPA. It looks completely bewildered, like, I'm a big boy. I wrote my name, and then handed the pen. Despite all this, the mask wearing, the coughing in his hand, which, God almighty, what are you talking about? Dear Lord. Anyway, comes back, signs it, goes back on vacation in Delaware while the bleep show is happening. I mean, you're getting slapped upside the head by this administration. You're getting your face rubbed in their malfeasance, and they're laughing at you. And I am so bleeping done with all of them. Including Mike Pence. Here's Mike Pence. You know, I used to think Mike Pence was, you know, all right, you know, kind of looks like Race Bannon from Johnny Quest and, you know, all that stuff. And then I realized what a scumbag he is. I mean, well, no, scumbag's not a good idea. I shouldn't say scumbag. He's not a bag. He's a bag of something else. But anyway, he's now defending those who would say, you know, maybe we need to defund the FBI. And I think we do. I think agencies that have been really, really abusing their authority need to be defunded or refunded or certainly broken up and a lot of people fired.
Earlier today and elsewhere, I also want to remind my fellow Republicans, we can hold the Attorney General accountable for the decision that he made.
He really should get on the ticket with Liz Cheney. The ticket to nowhere.
Without attacking rank and file law enforcement personnel.
Nobody is. Nobody's doing that.
At the FBI.
That's a lie. Listen to the tepid applause. Because everybody knows we're not doing that.
The Republican Party is the party of law and order. Our party stands with the men and women who serve on the thin blue line at the federal.
Sure, what about Mitch McConnell?
And state, yeah, and
sure,
local level. And these attacks.
I heard nothing from Lindsey Graham on the right of you.
And the FBI must stop. Calls to defund the FBI are just as wrong as calls to defund the police.
Nah, because that's completely apples and oranges. Completely apples and oranges.
The truth of the matter is, we need to get to the bottom of what happened.
Yeah, and we will. And then we're going to have to do some hearings, some indictments, some trials, and then some prison sentences. That's what we're going to have to do. This has never been about an attack on the rank and file. Everybody knows this, all right? And we've also said, in case you didn't know there, Mike, we also said that there are very few police officers who are crooked. Most police officers put their vest on, holster their gun, kiss their SIG other goodbye, and go to work not knowing if they'll come back. But they do it because nobody else will take that kind of risk. It takes that special a person to do it. So we know that Black Lives Matter hates all police. We don't. Duh. Next question. Now, we've got a bunch of stuff coming to the second hour that I think you're really going to enjoy, including a trial going on, a second trial going on in Michigan, where the FBI abused its power and attempted to ensnare some people in a plot to kill the governor. I've got some unbelievable information on that. This is the Rob Carson Show. Hey guys, it's Carson. Zenith Firearms is an American-owned and operated company based in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Central Virginia. Initially founded in 2014, Zenith built its reputation for superb customer service through firearm and ammunition imports. With many years of expertise in the platform, Zenith is now proudly manufacturing its own line of U.S.-made roller-delayed blowbacks. Zenith provides the American people with a premium product made right here in the United States, starting with the introductory model, the ZF5. Newly released in 2022, the ZF5 is based on the most popular and iconic 9mm submachine gun, the MP5. While the ZF5 is available immediately, Zenith's three compact personal defense models are available for pre-order and will begin shipping later this year. Zenith proudly supports our nation's military, law enforcement, and responsibly armed citizens protecting the Second Amendment. Check out Zenith Firearms at zenithfirearms.com. That's zenithfirearms.com, or like and subscribe to their social media pages.
Rush Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
It is the Rob Carson Show, hour number two, and Kerry Lake joins us at the bottom of the hour, the soon-to-be, hopefully, governor of Arizona. So she's going to talk to us about a number of things, including the fallout from the FBI raid of Mar-a-Lago. Also going to get into this, this story about anti-government militia members charged with hatching a plot against the Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan. Turns out it was just a big FBI setup to go after, you know, the biggest threat that we have, which is white supremacy, also known as Trump supporters. Yeah, there's a lot of things going on, guys. There are a lot of balls in the air, as it were. For the first time, just a real quick a cultural shift. This is kind of weird. For the first time in years, in the state of Wyoming, there are a few people who are identifying as lesbians. This just came out. Liz Cheney, of course, defeated her supporters. I've said they are lesbians. It looks like that it was the largest primary turnout in the state's history. We knew that. It was gigantic. It was a big day for Donald Trump candidates. Kelly Chewbacca goes on in Alaska. You got Sarah Palin going on in Alaska. You've got this race where Liz Cheney got just destroyed by her opponent, Harriet Hegeman, who's awesome. So fewer lesbians. Sorry, that's another thing. Lesbians out there. Oh, and this is the icing on the cake. Guess who called Liz Cheney the morning after her trouncing? Are you ready for this? Joe Biden called her. I think it was around midnight. She answered the phone and he said, "Yeah, what kind of deals you got on family pizza specials?" And she says, "Well, I'm Liz. He goes, "Well, thanks, Liz. Yeah, well, I like personally pepperoni stuffed crust and Mom? Is that you?" That was what the phone went. But apparently he wanted to call her and congratulate her on her defeat or something, or say, "Please, you might as well come work for me, because seriously, you're already in the tank for, anybody but Trump." And then also this, six Republicans who backed Trump's, this is the headline, fraud claims could take charge of elections. Chuck Gray won the Wyoming primary to become the Secretary of State on a promise that he's going to ban ballot boxes. Six Republicans who backed former Donald Trump's election fraud claims could take charge of state's elections. I love this. And the crazy thing, what's going to happen? They're going to get fair. I know. Five other election deniers, and by the way, I'm a proud, deplorable denier. I just want you to know that. Climate change and the election. Running for Secretary of State are from swing states, including Mark Fincham, Arizona, Christina Caramo, Michigan, Kim Crockett in Minnesota, Jim Marchant in Nevada, and Audrey Trujillo in New Mexico. We have affiliate. We own Nevada, by the way. We got like seven radio stations in Nevada. So hi, everybody. Glad to have you joining me. But apparently calling them election deniers doesn't stop them from getting elected. There you go. It's kind of cool. Kind of cool. Let's talk about this story in Wisconsin. There was Gretchen Whitmer came out a year ago and said, "Oh, yeah, the FBI stopped a plot to assassinate me. You know, you better be careful because you're going to pay." Well, it turns out the FBI was very involved, and it's a giant, it wasn't a sting operation, it was a setup. There's been two trials, we're in the middle of the second one. And the crazy thing about this trial versus the Kangaroo Court January 6th hearings, in this trial, there's cross-examination of witnesses and presentation of a defense. And when that happens, the FBI's argument collapses.
Prosecutors called it a plot born of rage to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer. But after 4.5 days of deliberating, a federal court jury came back with not a single conviction. Adam Fox, Barry Croft Jr., Brandon Caserta, and Daniel Harris were accused of targeting the governor because of
her
COVID restrictions. But the jury found Caserta,
presumably also conservative,
and Harris not guilty of all charges in the kidnapping conspiracy. Jurors were deadlocked, unable to reach a verdict on the charges against Fox and Croft. The government can seek to try them again.
And they are.
The four were charged with planning to kidnap the governor from her summer home and blow up a bridge leading to it to slow the police response.
That was actually all made up by the FBI.
Prosecutors said they practiced.
They came up with the plot.
Using weapons and conducted surveillance of the governor's home to prepare. But defense lawyers said the four were just big talkers, sometimes fueled by drug abuse.
Wasn't drug abuse. The FBI fed them the drugs. We'll get to that.
Were spurred on by no fewer than 12 undercover FBI agents and informants.
So 12 undercover agents and informants to go after four guys.
And pushing the conspiracy that just never was. Never was, never was going to be. Our governor was never in any danger. And I think
it was all a big lie planted by the same FBI that says that white supremacy is the biggest terrorist threat that we have in this country. Where are all the news stories about white supremacists blowing up stuff and killing people? Oh, yeah, it's not happening. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this to you today is because I watched the show the other night. I watched Tucker the other night. Tucker's covering this. He's one of the few, and you know, he's got a big staff, so he can do that. And I took a day to digest this because I think it's very interesting. There are four defendants in the original case: Daniel Harris, 24, Adam Fox, 38, Barry Croft, 46, and Brandon Caserta, 33, all charged with conspiracy. All but Caserta are also charged with knowingly conspiring to use weapons of mass destruction against persons or property in an alleged plot to slow police response. That's blowing up the bridge, all right? So Harris was found not guilty on all charges. Jurors could not reach verdicts in the charges against Fox and Croft. This is going to get confusing. That's why I took a day to share this with you, because I want to try and make this understandable. Here is Tucker talking about the setup, the plot to kill or kidnap Gretchen Whitmer, which was made up by the FBI to enforce the narrative that white supremacists, a.k.a. Trump supporters, are the people that the FBI is most concerned about.
Then a trial and then a retrial. And thanks to that, we have testimony and cross-examination that reveals what actually happened, how the FBI engineered this plot. Now, most of the media were paying zero attention to this. Julie Kelly of American...
None of this is disputable. It's all been revealed in the court, in the courtroom proceedings going on now.
Greatness has actually covered it. We're grateful to her for what she's found. So here's the outline. In early 2020, a 35-year-old Army veteran called Dan Chappell, nicknamed Big Dan, was working as a contractor for the U.S. Postal Service. He drove delivery trucks.
Yeah.
He was scrolling Facebook one night.
Probably made, delivery trucks full of ballots disappear. I don't know.
And Chappell says he found a pro-Second Amendment group called Wolverine Watchmen. He says he just happened upon it. So Chappell testified that he was concerned by the group's criticism of law enforcement. So he went to a police officer friend of his and asked for advice.
Yeah.
None of the messages within the group violated any law. But somehow, within a week, Chappell wound up connected to the FBI, to several FBI agents, including a special agent called Jason Chambers.
Now, it's kind of weird that Merrick Garland literally worked with the White House and the Department of Education to go after parents who oppose CRT. Do you suppose that Merrick Garland might have said, hey, we need some of these Trump-supporting, you know, white supremacists. We need them in the headlines. We need to put them away. We need to set them up. We need something so we can go after Trump supporters. That's what I believe. That's my constitutionally protected opinion. Here's some interesting information about Big Dan.
An investigation is the process of finding out what happened. An investigation is not the process of orchestrating things to happen.
Yeah, but
that's exactly what this became.
The setup.
In all, the FBI, with Chambers as the handler, paid Chappell, Big Dan, more than $60,000 in the course of just a few months.
It's amazing what they do with your money, isn't it?
Today, Chappell testified that he made more money working for the FBI in 7 months than he did working for the United States Postal Service over the course of an entire year.
Now, one of the events that the FBI has made up is actually a big protest, I guess, out in front of the governor's, the state capitol in Michigan.
Within a few weeks, the FBI created a new Facebook group called Patriot Three Percenters.
This is why you should be careful of Facebook, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's just this group. It looks interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So Chapel and several members of that group then attended a protest at the Michigan State Capitol.
Yeah.
Look at you bringing people together, the FBI handler texted Chapel. Now, throughout that protest, which didn't look a whole lot different from the January 6th protest.
Whoa. Just mark that real quick.
Chapel kept in touch, close touch, with federal agents. He informed the feds that a 37-year-old man called Adam Fox was at the state capitol during the protest.
Listen
now,
to this.
Adam Fox was got to be one of the least powerful people in our society.
Yeah.
He lived alone with his two dogs in the basement of a vacuum repair shop. Why? Because he had no money whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah. He's expendable. He's like that character on Star Trek. You never learn the name, and they just kill him for, you know, just the purpose, I guess, of showing how evil the, you know, the bad guys are. There's a lot of similarities here. A little bit more.
Then in July of 2020, Chapel suggested that Fox and others fire rounds into the governor's mansion,
wow,
as well as at her cottage. But the alleged plotters, including Adam Fox, again refused. They didn't want to hurt the governor.
They didn't want to hurt the governor. No, they didn't. But they kept getting pushed and pushed and pushed.
Then the Bureau recruited a convicted felon and a longtime FBI informant called Stephen Robson to introduce a new idea to Fox, as
what's
well
that?
As to Barry Croft.
Yes.
This time, the idea was to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer.
Yeah.
Robson, with the FBI's money, organized several events, including a national militia conference in Ohio, training in Wisconsin, and a meeting in Delaware. FBI orchestrating all of this. On July 18th, 2020, at one such militia meeting, again,
yeah,
organized by the FBI, when they
yeah
say, oh, right-wing extremists. In this case, they created them.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, they ended up at the Capitol, and they tried to get the guys to shoot the Capitol, and oddly enough, there's a guy named Ray Epps at the Capitol on January the 6th trying to get people to go into the Capitol, and the crowd said no.
We need to go, I'll say it, all right, we need to go in.
I know.
In fact, tomorrow, I don't even like to say it because I'll be arrested.
Well, let's not say it.
We need to.
It's like almost the same thing that happened in Michigan.
I'll say it.
All right.
We need to go in to the Capitol.
Let's go!
So I'm going to put it out there. I'm probably going to go to jail for it. Tomorrow, we need to go into the Capitol. Into the Capitol.
What?
Fed!
Yeah, they knew that night on January the 5th, they knew that a Fed was there. A Fed was there to set them up. They tried the same thing they did at the Michigan Capitol, but they had more people involved in the U.S. Capitol on January the 6th. I've got a couple more interesting notes on this story. If you will hear them in a second. Here's the number, 800-922-6680. This is the Rob Carson Show.
If you're looking for a woke take on current events, just go back to sleep, because you're not getting it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Kerry Lake joins us at the bottom of the hour, so don't go anywhere. Not that you would anyway. Whatever. So I've been sharing the story about anti-government militia members charged with hatching a plot to against the state's Democrat leader, Gretchen Whitmer, in Michigan. And the jury failed to convict four men involved in the plot because the FBI made up the plot and tried to rope them into it. Daniel Harris, Adam Fox, Barry Croft Jr., and Brandon Caserta. All white guys. You know, white supremacy and everything, which is what the FBI says is our biggest threat. And it's so bad that they have to make up instances of it. And that's what they tried to do. And they didn't get anywhere with it in the first trial. Now, two of those defendants are back in court with more trumped up charges. And it's being exposed that the FBI goes after political enemies. Donald Trump. Been doing that for about 6 years. The Russia collusion hoax, the FBI was involved in it. The FBI presented the dossier paid for by Hillary Clinton to a FISA court to get a warrant to surveil Donald Trump's campaign, transition team, and presidency. Presidency because they wanted to find anything they could do to bring him down. like impeachment one and impeachment two, right? And that didn't work. So they've done a bunch of other stuff, and that ultimately culminated in searching his home for nonsense last Monday and creating a political firestorm unseen in American history that will eventually take down the FBI as we know it. It will. So here's a little bit more about the FBI's tactics. In the first news story, you heard that the four guys involved with this were drug addicts, apparently. But no, they weren't.
Informants drove the defendants to Gretchen Whitmer's home. Then they suggested killing the governor of Virginia, also a Democrat.
Yeah.
On September 5th, 2020, FBI Special Agent Jason Chambers texted Chappell, quote, "Mission is to kill the governor specifically." What kind?
Chappell is Big Dan, by the way. He's the postal guy who the FBI was hired as an informant and paid him a bleep ton of money.
Tree is this. To pressure one of the defendants, a man called Barry Croft, into doing that, one FBI agent admitted this week that a female informant slept in the same hotel room as Croft.
Well, that's kind of weird.
It was a honey trap. FBI agents also testified this week that they regularly got high with Adam Fox. They smoked weed with Adam Fox. They said he was so high.
The same thing happened with Fang Fang and Eric Swallowswell.
In fact, he was high in all of his meetings with them. Again, that's against FBI policy.
They got him really high.
You can't just give drugs to people and hope they do something bad.
Classy.
Well, after all of this failed to produce a kidnapping plot, it fell on yet another FBI agent called Richard Trask to build the criminal case against the defendants.
All
that
based on
year,
lies.
Trask, who has now been convicted of beating his wife, called Donald Trump a piece of excrement on social media. Really? Yeah. Just nonpartisan federal bureaucrats, public servants doing their job.
And here's connection between this attempt to overthrow the governor of Michigan and January the 6th.
Now, incredibly, after all of this, the person in charge of the field office overseeing the Whitmer investigation in 2020, a man called Stephen D'Antuono, was promoted, not fired, promoted to lead the D.C. field office in late 2020. Are you connecting the dots here? In other words, the guy who made sure that FBI informants were active during a rally in the Michigan State House in 2020... as part of this concocted plot, that same guy went on to become the guy who oversaw the investigation into, wait for it, January 6th.
January 6th was coordinated. They're doing their best to hide the video and everything, but it was coordinated by the FBI and left-leaning groups. Ray Epps, no, he's unavailable. You can't get a hold of Ray Epps. The FBI's covering for him. There were people who were on the FBI's most wanted list, and then they disappeared from that list because it turns out they were working possibly with the FBI. This is Julie Kelly talking to my favorite dude, Steve Bannon.
Two defense attorneys are going so hard at the government for what they did. They've had their main informant, Dan Chappell, known as Big Dan.
Big
He's
Dan.
Been on the stand for 2 days. I thought the guy was going to crack at one point.
This is the trial that's going on now that's going to fail.
Day, or at least I'm sure he slinked off the witness stand, probably in tears, totally humiliated.
Yeah.
Because not only did he once again illuminate his key role in putting all these people together, organizing all of the events, recording them while these people were stoned and while he was giving them beer and wings and entertaining them, he was paid at least $60,000 by the FBI, more than he
made
in a year as a Postal Service truck driver. In December of 2020, after the caper was done, the arrests were made, the announcements made, Joe Biden wins the presidency, the FBI hands him an envelope with $23,540. That's in addition to what he had already made as an informant.
Wow.
He was done being an informant.
Wow.
Why'd they give him $23,000?
Wow.
He got a free laptop when he sold his house. They paid for the loss on his house. They paid for him and his daughter to stay in a hotel room.
Wow.
While they looked for another house. They got him a smartwatch. I mean, this guy was living the life as he's entrapping these innocent people into this hoax.
If I were a field agent in the FBI, I would definitely be rebelling right now, possibly whistleblowing, because some major changes are going to have to happen to this agency. It's going to have to be broken up. It's going to have to be investigated, and some people are going to have to go to jail. Carrie Lake is going to be the next governor of Arizona, and she joins us next. is a Thursday edition of the Rob Carson Show. Let's just call her a rock star. Let's just say that Carrie Lake is a rock star. She's taking Arizona and the country by storm, and she joins us right now on the Newsmax hotline. She is in the middle of the fight of the state of Arizona's life for the governorship. Hello and good afternoon, Carrie. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on today, Rob. We are doing battle down here trying to save this amazing state of Arizona.
So let's talk a little bit about what's happened in the last week. The raid of Mar-a-Lago has enraged a lot of people. We all knew that there were forces working against Trump supporters. You know it as well as I do. I, by the way, am a proud election denier. And you know why I am an election denier? It's because I'm not stupid. I paid attention. I know what the hell's going on. How has that affected the people of Arizona, particularly those who might have been sitting on the fence with regard to Trump or even voting for you?
You know, I think that raid just shows the outrageous overreach, the politicization of our federal government to go against President Trump. I mean, they have been after him for 7 years nonstop with made up scandals and Russiagate and you name it. They just keep throwing stuff at him. And I really think that might be the straw that broke the camel's back. People saying, wow, he's out of office and they're still going after this guy.
Yeah.
I think if he decides to run, that just pushed a lot more people into his camp. People who might have even been on the sidelines going, you know, I will get behind him because they will not stop attacking him.
You know, we are served up a lot of indignities, everything from Afghanistan. Joe Biden conveniently took the week off on the one-year anniversary of the disastrous withdrawal. He came back to sign the Inflation Reduction Act, which now we know was a lie. It was a Soviet-era lie. It was about inflating the Green New Deal, paying off donors and green energy associates. And then also, let's not forget, 87,000 new IRS agents, which is an affront to the people like we've never seen before. I'd like your thoughts on the Inflation Reduction Act that they had to get through by hook or by crook with only 50 votes. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, anything that the Democrats name, you know, Inflation Reduction Act, are you kidding me? It's like opposite day with these people. And they use language in such a way to try to convince people, you know, of just the opposite of what they're pushing. How are we going to reduce inflation when we're taxing our people more? People are struggling. They can't put gas in their car. They can't afford the gas. They can't afford food. They can't afford back to school clothes for the kids. And their answer is to tax us more and then expand the bureaucracy by hiring nearly 90,000 armed IRS agents to come after us if we're late on our taxes.
Yeah, and the thing is, they ran an ad looking for people who could handle a handgun or a weapon and use lethal force. I'm asking my listeners to apply every day on the IRS website for jobs just to keep them busy through November. I really do. I want everybody.
I wonder if they're only hiring people of a certain ideology.
Doesn't matter.
Doing some sort of ideology check.
Yeah, but they can't handle the phone calls. We need millions of people. We need millions of people to pollute the jobs.irs.gov site and apply for the position of whatever they're asking for. We talked briefly off the air about the suffering that our nation's children have gone through with regard to COVID. I'm not sure which school it is. They are doing masks again. Let's talk about what you're going to do to help our kids out. One thing I had mentioned to you was that you are promoting trade schools instead of high school, or at least a move toward high school, because so many kids graduate from high school with no rudder. The kids who don't just graduate the high school degree to go to a college and get a worthless degree and graduate with debt. Let's talk about your job for trade schools, because I think this is gigantic, particularly on the heels of what the government did to our kids with COVID.
Yeah. I mean, well, what's the purpose of educating our children? I thought it was to prepare them for the opportunities in the future. I thought it was to ready them to be able to go out and be resourceful and make a living. We are brainwashing our kids with worthless curriculum and setting them out into the real world with zero confidence and zero skills in many cases. So we're going to change that up. We have a great education plan. You can find it on my website, carrielake.com, K-A-R-I-L-A-K-E. And part of my plan calls for a dual-track education after 10th grade. We know that technical education offers a path to highly paid, stable careers without that debt that colleges and universities have, you know, foisted on our students.
Yeah.
And we want our kids to be prepared for the jobs that are out there. So we want to bring trade schools and trade skills training back into our high schools. After 10th grade, you decide if you want to go the college career, the college track, and then you continue with the college prep classes, or if you want trade skill training, vocational training, or career certificate. You know, there's certificates you can earn and in 2 years' time that will prepare you for coding jobs, that will prepare you for jobs in cosmetology, whatever it may be. But let's get them on a path for a real career where they can make a living.
Yeah.
Welders in a program they have down in Tucson at a high school there, 100% of the kids in that welding program are getting a job offer by the time they graduate, making between $70,000 and $100,000 a year with full benefits.
That's amazing. I think the IRS is paying for that much for enforcement agents. I saw a story this morning, and I've been working with Children's Miracle Network for decades and children's hospitals around the country. This morning I saw a video from Phoenix Children's Hospital about gender reassignment, and they are doing it. Your thoughts on this horrific crime against our children to go with puberty blockers, to go with radical surgery, life-altering surgery of our children. What's behind it, and what the hell are you going to do about it?
I don't know what's behind it, but we are going to do something. I'm already working with lawmakers, and they're going to re-propose a piece of legislation that they proposed but didn't have the votes last session to ban this kind of genital mutilation on our children before the age of 18. If you're an adult and you choose to do something like that, hey, that's your business. But we cannot have our children be subjected to this kind of surgery that is forever life altering. I mean, think of the things we were doing at the age of 16, 12, 13, 17, that if we would have been held to that decision for the rest of our lives, we wouldn't want that. We're not making the best decisions at that age. Not to mention there's a lot of confusion that's heaped on our kids about this issue. We need to ban this kind of surgery for our children. It is life-altering, and you can't go back.
It's dangerous, I think, and I don't know where it's coming from. I really don't. But clearly we are in a position in this country where the right is wrong, wrong is right. I could go on and on. Let's talk about the border. I want to talk about what's wrong. This has really got people mad, and I can't even imagine what life is like for people in Arizona with this open border, with the fentanyl crisis, with all of this. What are you going to do, and how are the people in Arizona reacting to this assault on the country and your state?
You know what? Almost all Arizonans are for securing our border. I covered Arizona as a fair and honest journalist for 27 years. So, of course, I covered border issues. We'd never seen it as secure as it was under President Trump. Day one, Joe Biden comes in, tears back that policy, and exposes us to the narco-terrorist cartels. Yeah. And drugs coming pouring in levels we've never seen before, and people pouring in, hundreds of thousands of people coming across our Arizona border. You know who's really upset about this? Mm. Our working class folks.
Oh, yeah.
They're now competing for jobs for people who shouldn't even be here. And we, as moms and dads, will not sit by idly and watch Arizona be the pipeline for deadly fentanyl pouring into this country. Every state is sick of it. It's going to take a strong governor in Arizona to shut this operation down and restore law and order in Arizona. And as a mother, I will not sit by and watch these drugs pour in and poison our children.
Yeah.
This is the leading cause of death right now, fentanyl poisoning. It's not an overdose, Rob.
No.
These kids are taking one pill and dying.
Yes.
And we have a chance to stop that, but we need a tough governor. And the person I'm running against is a socialist Democrat who wants to keep the border open.
Unbelievable.
She wants to defer to Joe Biden, who is the problem on our border.
Unbelievable.
And we're going to call it what it is. We'll declare an invasion on day one. And we, the state of Arizona, will take control of our own border. And we will handle things.
Now, did you see that a private property owner this morning, I heard, and he had locked the gate. There were National Guard troops there to stop the illegals. And the Border Control came, unlocked the gate, and told the National Guard to stand down. Had you heard that story this morning?
That was out of Texas.
It was correct? Out of Texas. Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
You know, and here's the reason why. You know, you have to look at my border policy. Again, go to CarrieLake.com. We worked on this policy with the very best minds, people who've secured the border, who've worked for Border Patrol, who've worked for ICE. They're the best constitutional attorneys that this country's ever seen. I said, I want a ironclad, secure the border policy that will stand up to the Supreme Court challenge that may come. And this is the best, most aggressive policy this country's ever seen, because we have the biggest invasion this country has ever seen on its home soil since our founders, you know, founded this country.
Yeah.
And so we have to have a tough, you have to start with declaring, issuing a declaration of invasion. Because what that does is it triggers the states to taking control, having basically state war powers to take control of the border. That's how you prevent that kind of thing from happening.
Yeah.
And Governor Abbott has not done that.
Nope.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
He knows that's an option. He knows he needs to do that. And I encourage him to go ahead, take that full measure, not a half measure, a full measure, declare an invasion on your border, and you take control of it.
Now, one other thing, you know, a lot of people are fleeing these Democrat states. I don't call them blue states. The Democrats are red. They always have been. I always thought that was nonsense. But a lot of people are leaving. They're going to Texas. They're going to Tennessee. They're going to Florida. I assume with you at the helm in Arizona, a lot of people are going to say, you know what? I think Arizona is a place to go. What are you doing as far as making Arizona more appealing to people who need to get the hell out of the awfulness that Democrats have created around the country?
Well, that's one of the reasons I'm running. I didn't want to have to load up a U-Haul, sell my home, and try to find another state, a red state, to live in. Arizona is a red state. We're an attractive state. I'm most concerned about making this state the greatest state in the country and the safest state in the country for Arizona residents. And if that attracts other people to come here, then that's fine. But we need to do right by the people of Arizona. And the people of Arizona have been put last by our political leaders and our politicians for far too long. We're moving the people of Arizona up to the first priority, and we're going to take care of the issues that we're facing. Our homeless crisis has gotten out of control to the point where we can't walk safely down our streets. We can't take our children to parks anymore. Our front porches are, we wake up in the morning and we go outside and we find homeless people sleeping in our yards and on our porches.
Yeah.
We cannot allow this problem to continue, or we will become California with a bunch of hollowed out cities. So we're going to tackle that head on. I've got a policy that will take care, that will tackle the homeless crisis, help the homeless get off drugs, get off the streets, and in return, restore quality of life for the hardworking tax-paying citizens. What we're doing now is pouring money at a problem, and nothing's happening, and we're all losing. We're going to start putting money at solutions that actually work by getting people help, getting them off the street, turning them into contributing citizens. We will no longer pour state money into any homeless program that is enabling people to use drugs or keeping them on the streets.
All right. Now, real quick, also, one thing that I really admire about you, Carrie, is that you give the media what for. Like Donald Trump did, he did a master class in it. He still does. You're doing a wonderful job with that. I love it when you get them, give it to them. I love it when you go viral. And you know, I think you know what the reason is. It's because you, my dear, have big DE, BDE in a major way. You do, girl. You got a BDE in a big old way here. And we support you 100%, Carrie. And I hope and pray that you and Doug Mastriano and Dan Cox are the triumvirate that turns the country around, working with Ron DeSantis and some great Republican governors, showing what America is capable of and moving away from the nonsense.
We got to bring back strong governors, governors who are fighting for our rights and our freedoms and liberties. Yeah. And that's where we're going to save this country, by saving each individual state. We are a collection of 50 sovereign states. Never forget that. We have gotten used to the federal government controlling our lives, and that's not how it's supposed to be. No. We're sovereign states. We created the federal government, and we're no longer going to allow them to destroy our lives.
All
so
right.
We're going to take back our state sovereignty and really restore safe and wonderful Arizona life for everyone here.
Yes, and of course, we will do everything we can as we get affiliates, hopefully very soon. We're working on some in Arizona right now. CarrieLake.com, CarrieLake.com. Best of luck, Godspeed, God bless, and we'll have you on again soon. Whatever we can do to help, we're here for you, Carrie. Have a glorious day,
awesome.
Okay?
Thank you, Rob. Bye-bye.
All right, let's take a break. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Opinions are easy. Entertaining? Not so much. It's the Rob Carson Show.
I want to thank Carrie Lake for joining us today. A really nice long interview. You can see it on my Rumble channel at Rob Carson Show. Rumble at Rob Carson Show, and you'll also see the breathtaking monologue I did. You'll see it because it's TV, because I have a studio in my home that is capable for television. So that's kind of cool. Rumble.com, Rob Carson Show. Next hour, by the way, Rob Schmidt is going to join us. Rob Schmidt is a terrific host on Newsmax, and he is doing a series on the malfeasance of the FBI and the invasion of Mar-a-Lago. Rob is, I think, going to enjoy his narrative. He is a pro. He is a rock star. He distills things beautifully. And his show is at 7 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. So if you watch it tonight, that would be huge. We are suffering indignities at the hands of a feeble old man who is a puppet of a previous administration who said that he wanted to fundamentally change America. It's fairly obvious at this point that they're trying to turn us upside down, including on our southern border. Here's the story that I alluded to in Texas yesterday, where a landowner had actually closed a gate and locked it, had Texas National Guard there to stop this giant stream of illegals across his property. And the Border Patrol sweeped in, pushed the National Guard aside, and allowed them to come across. This shows you, this federal government does not care about the border. It is the sovereign duty of the federal government to protect our borders and our citizens. And this is an impeachable, if not worse, offense against us.
This is the first time we've ever seen this. The Texas National Guard closed and locked a gate here at a major crossing area in Eagle Pass. Illegal immigrants showed up at the gate expecting to be let in. The National Guard said, nope, we're not going to be the ones to let you in. The immigrants just stood outside and waited. And here's what ended up happening. Border Patrol showed up. Take a look at this video. A Border Patrol supervisor showed up with a key, unlocked the gate, and let all of the migrants...
They're rubbing your face in it. They're humiliating you. That's what Joe Biden is doing. You know this is wrong. And look what he's doing to our National Guard. He's rubbing their face in it, too.
Into the property. It's private property. The landowner allows Texas law enforcement as well as Border Patrol to work here, but you can see the contrast between the state of Texas's approach as well as the federal government's approach. And then
it is sickening. It is absolutely sickening. I did find something. I thought this might be a little kind of funny. I found a bit that I did for Rush a while back, probably 2010-ish, about the border, and things have not changed.
If you're looking for the real South of the Border experience, then sneak in to Los Eligalos and place your order today.
Welcome to Los Eligalos. Can I take your order?
Yes, I want free health care, a job. I want the...
That's me, by the way. It's really politically incorrect.
...protest in the streets, and I want the entire Southwest U.S. returned to its rightful owner, Mexico.
Are you here legally?
That's none of your business.
And right now in Los Eligalos, you can try our new chicken soft border taco. With a tortilla so thin, you can see right through it. No ID, no problem. In the country illegally, no problem. Just cut in line in front of everyone else.
Jace, I'd like a La Raza Tostada.
Hey, I've been waiting in line here for 10 years.
Hey, tell that to Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi.
That guy's actually Hispanic, by the way.
Bring the whole gang to Los Eligalos and order our MS-13 special. Order a dozen tacos and we'll throw in one free.
Viva Los Eligalos!
Wear your American flag t-shirt inside out and get a free entry.
That's entree?
Oh, yeah. Now open 24 hours in all border states. Arizona is subject to change.
All right, coming up, Humpty Dumpty has had a great fall. I'll get you the details. It is the Rob Carson Show.
Rush Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Hour number three of the Rob Carson Show. We've got Rob Schmidt from Newsmax joining us at the bottom of the hour. You're going to really enjoy his work with regard to the Mar-a-Lago raid. And his show is on 7 o'clock on Newsmax, a nation's fastest growing cable news network, which I'm a part of. By the way, my show is called Rob Carson's What in the World? And tonight you'll see Rob. It's at 7 o'clock Eastern at NewsmaxTV.com. Just look for your schedule there. It's on that 349 on DirecTV, in case you wanted to know. I don't even know what CNN's number is on my dial, to be quite honest. I know it's around there somewhere. I usually only watch CNN because I either have to or to make fun of the stuff they say. And usually it's pretty easy because what they say is nonsense. You know, void of reason, void of, I don't know, you know, I don't even, it's just, it's so beyond the pale. You know, defending the FBI with a dragnet raid of a former president like it's, you know, not a big deal. You know, all down with the calling the 2020 election a big lie. They were one of the first to call it a big lie, so to shut down the debate, you can't say anything. And their ratings are just, I mean, in the crapper. And it's, you know, I remember watching news CNN when it first came out, and there was some of the old anchors, Bernard Shaw and others, and you know, it was there, and it was on in airports, and you know, it was revolutionary, I guess, to some degree. Fox came along, dethroned them. CNN is they've just canceled Brian Stelter. It's amazing. I mean, he lasted quite a long time. His ratings just imploded in the last couple of years. He is supposedly, I guess, their media analyst. Analyst, I guess, might be a better word. Anyway, he's gone. In a statement, are you ready for his statement? His statement was to NPR. His statement was to NPR. He said he's grateful for the show and his team's examination of the media, truth, and the stories that shape our world. Well, you know, you may have examined the media, but you never told the truth. It was a rare privilege to lead a weekly show focused on the press at the time when it has never been more consequential. Promising to say more on Sunday's show in its final episode. And I, please, bring a box of tissues because it's going to be really, really sad. My show airs on Saturday and Sunday and again on Monday on Newsmax because my show is pretty popular. Stelter got his start blogging about cable news as a student, went on to become a media reporter for the New York Times. Reliable Sources is the longest running show on CNN. Dear God. Stelter has hosted it for the past 9 years and celebrated its 30th anniversary in March. CNN's new chief is Chris Licht. He informed Stelter of the decision yesterday. Now, you remember, Licht took over for Jeff Zucker. It's Zucker. And he used to literally, if you call him Zucker, he'd say, no, it's Zucker, like in Hooker. I'm not kidding. He used to do that. So I think the new name for Chris Licht should be, it's Chris Licht. Like, it's not going to lick itself, which happened at that drag show with the kids. You know, so anyway, he's gone. No telling who he's going to be replaced by. No telling he's going to be replaced by. But he's out. CNN anchors are dropping like flies. We saw Don Lemon. We saw, Cuomo. He's gone. And it's not going to end there. I mean, I'm going to give Licht. It sounded weird. Benefit of the doubt because he wants to move toward journalism and not this. So, well, whatever. Oh, here's a little montage of Brian Stelter with regard to obsession, the media obsession with Russia collusion and his changing up his opinions.
So disappointing to look at what we're seeing from right-wing media these days, where there's such an obsession with the deep state and these revelations about the Russia probe. Latest on the Robert Mueller Russia investigation. The Russian investigation, Trump's Russia ties, and Robert Mueller.
He's been a couple of years talking about the Russia collusion hoax, and it was a hoax. It was a hoax. And he stuck to it, man. He towed that party line, bro.
Still Russia story, Russia probe, the ongoing Russia probe, Russia probe, the Russia investigation. But Mueller and the Russia probe, Russia synergies, they wonder if Russia has compromising information on the president. What is the source for the president's claim that they have found no collusion with Russia? He misspelled collusion. Every day we're trying to keep track of the drip, drip, drip of the Russia investigation. Drip, drip, drip.
I don't think they're going to be able to put Humpty back together again.
Drip, 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 drip. Drip, drip, drip. Trump and Russia. To see whether Trump was secretly working for Russia. To bring it back to Russia and Russia and Russia. 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 Russia's in Russia. 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 Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller. Special Counsel Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller.
It was all a big lie. That was a big lie. Questioning 2020 election, that wasn't a big lie. CNN just called it that. The Russia collusion hoax was a lie. It's provable. It's been shown. You know that. I don't need to convince you. You know that, dear Lord. Of course you know that. Because you know why? Because you're not stupid. Yeah. Okay. Let's move on. Where are we going to go to now? Where in the heck are we going to go right now? Let's talk about COVID and all the nonsense that we had to go through. You know, I was watching some footage online this morning, and somebody brought up this. There was a skate park in Southern California, and the kids wanted to get out and play in a skate park, which was perfectly safe. And the city, I don't think it was L.A., they brought in bulldozers, and they filled the skate parks, which looked like abandoned swimming pools, with sand. That's what D-words they were about it. And they wrecked so many lives and businesses. And honestly, I really hope there are Nuremberg-style trials for the people who put us through this nonsense, including the CDC, Rachel Walensky, including Anthony Fauci and others. You were played. And the government used it to shut you down, to ruin you, and to show you how they can control you in so many myriad ways. So many myriad ways. And if you don't believe me, just go find the body pits. See if there's body pits behind Home Depot. Please do that. Oh, yeah, there are none. Honestly, just nonsense. And I'm dealing. I got a kid who just got out of college. He went through this crap. Had to spend a semester of his college living in our basement because the University of Kansas was shut down. My daughter missed the second half of her freshman year in high school. No education at all, just what we were able to provide, not being prepared for it at all. Then she had to go back hybrid, and then for another year she had to wear a stupid mask. But Rutgers University planning to keep its mask and vaccine mandate in place for the fall semester because they're a bunch of morons. And if I had a kid considering Rutgers, I'd say, you know what, screw Rutgers until they pull their heads out of their rear ends, to be quite honest. They are accepting coronavirus as a permanent part of our daily lives. And it announced it will maintain COVID-19 safety protocols on face coverings, vaccines, and boosters, testing and quarantining and isolation. Screw Rutgers, honestly. And then there's this. Out of nowhere yesterday, we find reports that the CDC is going to be overhauled. That they really bleeped up when it came to managing of COVID. This came out of nowhere. This came after the CDC lifted all protocols about a week ago. Everything they told you suddenly didn't matter. They say it's because of a different version of the virus. But no. No, it was time for the election. People know it's nonsense. And nobody's going to take the 105 million doses of vaccine that Joe Biden's already paid the big Trump drug companies for the fall. And by the way, they also did a face plant after they recommended and literally, I mean, like bedded down with Sesame Street with Elmo going and getting a COVID shot, even though kids don't need the damn COVID shot. And you know how many people went out and got the COVID shot? Nationally, about 3% of parents said, yeah, my 5 and under-year-old kid needs to get a COVID shot, which means America's done with COVID. Done with it. Here's David Muir on ABC with the dramatic news that the CDC is going to overhaul itself. It's going to overhaul itself, which means they might be trying to avoid what I'm talking about, which is holding them accountable in the next Congress.
The nation's top public health agency has long been criticized as too academic and too slow to confront crises in this country. The report finding the CDC's COVID recommendations were, quote, confusing and overwhelming. And its website not easy to navigate for the American people.
You could say this about every federal agency.
Dr. Rochelle Walensky herself ordering the review. Now she is promising change. Of course, we all remember that.
Nah, she needs to be fired. And then she needs to be indicted.
Changing guidance on masks and the delay in ramping up the testing. So tonight, what this all means, and it comes amid a new and important headline involving COVID.
What is that there, David Muir?
There is news tonight on when millions of Americans will have access to the new COVID booster, which will help.
Which nobody wants, but thanks for towing the party line anywhere there, David Muir.
Fight the newest strains of the virus, Omicron BA4.
The old Omicron BA4. I know you're shaking in your boots about Omicron BA, what, BS4?
BA5. ABC's Ariel Reshef leading us off.
And a little bit more from David Muir.
The review found the center's COVID recommendations.
Did he change genders?
Confusing and overwhelming, and its website not easy to navigate. Dr. Walensky vowing a major overhaul of the agency.
Why are they doing this autonomously? It's like something's about to come out.
See, She's also calling for
I'm thinking something about to come out.
Internal staffing changes and sharing information faster in plain language easy to understand. This comes as millions of Americans might soon be able to get the new COVID booster.
BS5.
Tailored to target the original COVID strain and the Omicron BA4 and BA5 subvariants.
Yeah, we're terrified.
White House COVID coordinator.
What are the symptoms on the BA5 and the BA4? What's the difference between two of them?
Later, Dr. Ashish Jha saying those revamped shots could be out in 3 weeks.
And nobody wants them. Here's Ashish Jha talking about how the vaccines that Joe Biden took, all two of them, and the boosters that didn't keep him from getting COVID twice, and his wife, and Lloyd Austin, and Anthony Fauci, and the guy who runs Pfizer.
I will say one thing, which is, again, the power of these vaccines. Right now, we have...
They haven't been powerful at all. You're lying.
400 to 500 Americans still dying every day. If everybody was up to date on their vaccines and people got treated with...
67% of the deaths in San Diego the last month have been people who are vaccinated.
COVID as they're supposed to. Deaths would go to close to zero across America.
I have a feeling there's something coming down, because government agencies don't unilaterally reinvent themselves like this and admit fault. I have a feeling something's going down. It's a gut feeling. It's just what it is. That's what it is. And I'm also not stupid. Let's take a break. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show.
An election year, and a whole lot of Democrats have electile dysfunction.
That is simply not true.
It's the Rob Carson Show.
It is a Thursday edition of the Rob Carson Show. Rob Schmidt joins us at the bottom of the hour from Newsmax to talk about the unbelievable Stasi Gestapo raid of Mar-a-Lago, and it is being exposed as that. Even political partisans are saying the same thing, even though CNN isn't. And by the way, in case you just tuned in, Brian Stelter is now looking for a job. I suggest jobs.irs.gov, because, you know, they're hiring 87,000 armed agents. They've doubled the size of the agency, and they're quadrupling the budget of the EPA. See, this is why you need to vote Republican in the fall and turn this thing around, because if not, it's over. I never have said that. If it doesn't happen, it's over. There you go. I hate to be a pisser. It's just the way it is. Paul in Hunt Valley, Maryland is on the phone. Hello there, Paul, and welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
I'm waiting for Merrick Garland to be arrested. Because most states have a statute, false imprisonment, and Florida does. It's a third-level felony, punishable by 5 years in jail. The elements are restrain or restrict someone's free movement, doing it without their consent, and Merrick Garland did that, and without a lawful order. By taking Trump's passport, Trump couldn't even go to his own golf course. He restricted his order. I mean, he restricted his free movement. Now, if you rob the bank, and even though they returned the passport, but if you rob a bank and then see your picture on the news that night, you can't return the money the next day and say, oh, it was a mistake.
Nice.
You still committed a crime. Yeah. Merrick Garland committed a crime by taking Donald Trump's passport, restricting his free legal movement outside of the country.
That's a great point. That's a great point. And I'm also going to say he also needs to be held accountable for what's happening to January 6th protesters being held guaranteed a speedy trial. And they've been in there a year and a half, many of them in solitary confinement. This bastard needs to be hauled out in leg irons, just like he did Paul Manafort. I absolutely want to see this happen in November, for sure.
Well, this there's no question. And he took full responsibility for the raid. So there's no question there was a felony committed. And Kamala Harris and Pelosi have been saying for the last week, nobody's above the law. Nobody's above the law. Let's see if they really mean it.
Paul, that's a great point. I greatly appreciate you holding and sharing it with us, man. I appreciate it. And this is the cool thing about you guys, because listen, I've got a great producer, two great producers in Brian and Ken. They're freaking rock stars. Ken is my man, and you too, Bri. Don't take away from Bri. But anyway, I got to do a lot of the heavy lifting myself, because I want to have my hands on it. I want to learn everything that I can and bring as much. So when you bring a different perspective, like Paul just did, which I think was wonderful, I would need a legal expert to really dissect what he said. But I do appreciate when you bring it, and you always bring it. You guys always bring it. Steve in Seaside, California. Hello there, Steve. What's going on, my friend?
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Yeah, to illustrate the point I'm trying to make, I'd like to direct everyone's attention to the scene in The Wizard of Oz when Dorothy throws the water on the Wicked Witch of the West and she melts.
Yes.
And the henchman who was protecting her with a full robe and a big axe alarmingly says, "Dorothy, you've killed the Wicked Witch. Thank you."
Yeah.
So here we have one minute the guy's protecting evil and big government.
Yeah.
The next minute, he's grateful that she's dead.
Yeah.
And it illustrates what I'm trying to say, that this country and the world probably is beset with bootlicking fear. Fear of the government, just like that.
Yeah.
And it has been deliberately foisted on us via media and techniques of Big Brother and statecraft.
Yeah. And also, let's say they want to put the pedal to the metal with 87,000 new IRS agents, and they are asking that they know how to handle weapons and be willing to use deadly force. That was exposed online, Steve. And if you weren't afraid of the government before, then dear God in heaven, you can at least see what they have planned.
But what I think the barometer we should use to measure our sanity as a people, right now we are bootlickers. We are afraid. We're paralyzed with fear of the government to do what's right. And we'll know we're well after the headline reads, "Author Stephen King arrested for John Lennon's murder."
Okay. Thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. Bye. You know, why do we do this, Steve? You know, what do you do? You just you are almost making a good point. And I kind of figured that was Steve. I just had a funny feeling. Anyway, we got to stop being afraid. I'm not afraid of the government. You know, I'm not afraid of the government. I can't be. The government is we are enemies of their state. We're enemies of their version of the state. Absolutely 100%. I am not down with 87,000 IRS agents. I am not down with an IRS that's been weaponized against conservatives, and particularly Donald Trump for the last 5 years, and there is copious evidence. It's unmistakable. There's copious evidence. You're God in heaven. We don't need to say it anymore. Russia collusion hoax. Working to get him removed from office, getting him impeached, surveilling him, FISA court, bought and paid for dossier by Hillary stinking Clinton, and then the IRS going after a conservative 501c3, shutting them down, using the power of the IRS to go after groups that had words like Patriot and Tea Party. The government destroyed the Tea Party movement because the Tea Party movement was shaken to the core by fear. That S ends in November, and I got to tell you, there's going to have to be indictments, impeachments, prosecutions, and prison sentences. And then you repeat it all over again. And I would venture to say, since our federal government is larger than 100 countries around the world, their militaries, that we need to wholesale fire at least 20, maybe more percent of every government department in the United States. Welcome to what you foisted upon us in the private sector. That's the way it's going to have to be. Rob Schmidt, Newsmax, coming up. Do not leave your radio, smart device, or otherwise. This is the Rob Carson Show.
If you're down with trigger warnings, you might want to listen to something else. It's the Rob Carson Show.
I think I recognize this music. In fact, I know I do, because I watch this guy every night on Newsmax. Rob Schmidt joins us on the Newsmax hotline. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hey, Rob. How's it going?
It's good, man. Hey, a couple of things real quick. I just got news. I don't know if you heard. Brian Stelter out at CNN. Love to hear your thoughts on Brian Stelter being out at CNN.
The whole newsroom is talking about it. It was like it was wild. It popped up and I started walking around and everybody saw it at the same time. It's crazy. He was certainly no fan of Newsmax, no fan of conservative media, and it's funny that, you know, they tried to play this line like he was some kind of fair over there. And the most recent Stelter thing that was hilarious for me was watching him. After what, the last 2 years of ignoring the Hunter Biden story,
yes.
Now that Joe is safely and securely in the White House,
and we know for certain that they are going to push him out after this term, Ryan Stelter, in just the last 2 or 3 weeks, has found it safe to be able to start talking about the Hunter Biden corruption story. And it's just indicative of exactly what that show was. It's a fake look at the media through the lens of a hyper-partisan.
Yes, but you know, there's never been a show, I think, honestly, in TV history that has had such poor ratings, but got more buzz in conservative media with people making fun of him. I mean, honestly, he got more coverage. Yeah, buddy, he had a weekend show.
He lambasted on every side. I mean, he took it in a lot of different ways, but I mean, he dished it out too. I mean, it was such a fake show because it was literally. I mean, you're supposed to be an objective viewer of media, right? I mean, it's a show that wasn't supposed to really be a partisan show. It was supposed to be, this is media. We're looking at media. We're going to look at all of it, conservative, liberal. We're going to give you kind of fair assessment of what the media is. He only talks trash about one side and protects the other side. So it's a useless show.
It's really interesting because CNN has experienced some major hits. They had the CNN Plus, which was opening. You know, you have a failed franchise and you know your burgers really suck. So let's go ahead and do a national franchise of sucky burgers. It was kind of like CNN with CNN Plus. They spent $300 million and they were canceled within 5 weeks. Let's move on to you are doing some very, very deep diving with regard to FBI abuses, with regard to the Mar-a-Lago raid. Why don't you tell us where you are and tell us what you're working on right now, because I want to get to that, and then I got a lot of other stuff I want to talk to you, because I find your narrative just really compelling. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, we've been talking about it all. We've taken a pretty good look at it's called Abuse of Power, and it's a series all week long. We've been looking at all the various different ways the DOJ and the FBI have been politicized. The way that they can manipulate information in these affidavits has been a really interesting part of the series, and we've looked at so many examples of how, the DOJ, the FBI, these agents have been caught, you know, manipulating, leaving information out of affidavits in order to get warrants so that they can do raids, so they can do wiretaps. We've dug in depth into countless examples of that we saw in Russiagate and basically in so many different ways when they've tried to go after Trump when it's politicized like this. I mean, these affidavits are what they manipulate the most. This is what they swear they believe, and they give this to a judge, and then the judge, based on that sworn document, says, okay, fine, you can have a wiretap on Paul Manafort, or okay, fine, you can go raid Mar-a-Lago tomorrow. I trust you because you're an agent of the law, and you're swearing in this document that you know there's something there that's legit. Well, they lie about this.
Yeah.
I can't remember, Rob, one of the guys was a former FBI guy, and he came on and he said, that's the dirty little secret is that we would manipulate the hell out of these things because you want to get what you want to get, you know, and this is where the check of the judge is not working and they lie. It was Brett Tolman that we had on just a couple nights ago that said that. And it's, you know, it's and today the big news that just popped up here, I think is going to pop up here in the next hour or so. But it looks like this Reinhart guy, who is an anti-Trump, big time lib down in South Florida, is not going to allow this affidavit. Those redactions of affidavit.
Not going to allow it to be released.
You know what? Actually, it's changed. I'm trying to read here at the same time.
Oh, no problem. Yeah,
I think they're going to release. They're going to redact it.
So what? Of course,
here's what they're going to do. They're going to take this affidavit. They're going to cut out probably the most important parts of it, and then they're going to release that to try and satiate all the critics like myself and everybody else that are looking deep at this thing and know for certain that this is a game that's been played for a long time. When it's in political purposes, they do this. They manipulate these affidavits to get the warrants that they want so that they can politically hit people and cause a lot of damage, and they only do this on one side.
Well, Rob, and this is ridiculous because they went to a FISA court. They lied about a piece of propaganda that Hillary Clinton and the DNC funded, and they went to the FISA court. They lied or misled the FISA court to get the ability to surveil Donald Trump, his campaign transition team and presidency, presuming, first of all, to get him disqualified, to get him to lose the race, and then to surveil him through his transition into the presidency. Presumably, I'm thinking, you know, the first impeachment involved somebody overhearing a phone call. You got to kind of wonder who all was involved in it if the FBI wasn't involved in it.
Right. That's exactly the point. I mean, this is so political. What it is it's costing this country so much because our faith in these institutions is deteriorating so fast. And just so you know, I mean, this literally just popped up in the last, you know, couple minutes, but they are going to, this judge is going to release portions of the affidavit, but he's going to leave it up to the Justice Department. So it's going to be up to Merrick Garland to decide what portions of the FBI's affidavit can be released, and that'll happen by next Thursday. So that you see how this all works. I mean, what do you think Garland's going to do? Garland didn't want any of this out there, so he's probably going to redact the whole damn thing.
Yeah, and also let's just talk about some of the other things that the FBI has done. The FBI not only went after Trump, the FBI they lost Hunter Biden's laptop. How in the hell is that possible, Rob? And we've seen gigantic amounts of data from it. It's laughable if it weren't so damned disgusting, illegal, and dangerous.
Yeah, no, it's a two-tiered system. I mean, it depends on your politics. You can get, there's a tremendous amount of things that you can do with classified information and really have no, really receive no punishment at all if your politics are right. But on the other side, it's that Schumer shot that we played a couple times this week. It's, if you go screwing with, the Justice Department, if you go screwing with the intel in this country, they've got a million ways of getting even. I mean, he said that a few years ago. And we're seeing all of that. We watched how that played out. I mean, that was a soundbite. He should have never said those words because he just gave up. They can torch you a million different ways, and it's not going to stop. This is big government. They don't care. They don't care what you think. They have the power. They have the control. I mean, they're going to do what they want.
Now, they are talking about possibly sharing some of the footage that the security cameras at Mar-a-Lago caught of the FBI. Have you heard anything with regard to any of that? I mean, I don't think any of us know what is on it. We are eager to find out.
Yeah, well, we've had Guilfoyle on. We had Don Jr. on last night. I asked them both about what that could show. They don't seem to know. I know it's that camera that looks at the hallway where the big, the big closet in the basement is where they kept all this stuff from. You accumulate. You're president of the United States for 4 years. You accumulate a lot of stuff. Trump likes his memorabilia. His courses are full of pictures of himself with all these world leaders and celebrities and athletes and everything like that. He probably, those 4 years are probably the coolest 4 years of his life, and he's had a pretty amazing life. So he's got all this stuff from those 4 years. He wants to keep it. He thinks it's his stuff. It doesn't seem there's anything malicious. Even Maggie Haberman today writes an article in the New York Times that kind of exonerates him from a lot of the conspiracy theories about why he would have kept all of this stuff that the government says is theirs. And let's not mistaken. I mean, Obama did the same thing. This is something that happens. It only turns into a huge, federal case and crime and this big explosion, when Donald Trump does it. But as far as what's in there and in the closet and what was on that camera, I mean, you saw the story that they leaked to the Times a couple days ago that they saw something that was that disturbed them, that alarmed them in that camera shot, but they wouldn't tell her what. And doesn't that just tell you, the selective leaking, it's like, I'm going to leak just this little bit just to feed, all of the conspiracies. We're not going to tell you what we saw because it's probably not anything at all. We're just going to say something alarmed us. And
it's just ridiculous. And Rob, they changed their story. It was the National Archives requesting classified documents. Then they realized that Donald Trump literally could wave his hand above the documents and say bazinga, and they would be declassified. Then it was nuclear secrets. It's really funny because nuclear secrets, I think, possibly might have been affiliated with Hillary Clinton with selling the rights of to Uranium One of 25% of our uranium mining rights in the United States. So I would say that she's a little closer to nuclear secrets than Donald Trump. So they've been all over the map trying to cover their doing a little CYA with regard to this raid at Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, it's all just, it's so transparent, it's so embarrassing. The fact that we've gotten to this point of a politicized country, and the really sad thing is that when we're this binary, when we're this my team, your team, that's when government really wins, because it's like they can get away with a lot of stuff if they honestly convince their base that Trump is, end of the world toxic. It allows them to be as awful as they've been for the last 2 years. It allows them to be this insanely liberal and hold on to, they think, enough votes to actually still win elections. It kind of gives you, when the country's a little bit more moderate on both sides and we're both a little bit more in the middle, when one party pulls a lot of BS, like we're seeing from Democrats right now, they're going to get nailed in an election. But when you have it so it's this toxic, and when they can create this boogeyman on the other side, which is what they've done, it allows them to really implement a lot of the extreme policies that are really only good for them. They're really only looking out. All they're trying to do is expand the government as big as they can. They're not looking out for the American men and women. We're taking it on the chin so that they can pass this Inflation Reduction Act that does absolutely nothing except spend money on climate change. Yes. It allows them to get away with a lot of this crap, and they don't have to suffer as many consequences.
I think things are beginning to change in a gigantic way. You saw Liz Cheney losing by nearly 40 points. That was epic. I like to say that there are a whole lot of people in Wyoming no longer identifying as lesbians. You can use that if you want, Rob. You can use it. Lesbians, they're lesbians. You know, we work for Newsmax. I started at Newsmax about 2.5 years ago doing my show, which is a kind of a departure from the rest of the network. Just real quick, in a nutshell, for those who are just now discovering Newsmax, what could you say about Newsmax? Because a lot of conservatives, they have go-tos with regard to news, and I'm not saying we're exclusively just conservative, but our hosts, we don't change our stripes. Okay, I've seen other hosts on networks, like maybe in November of 2020, change their stripes the night of the election. What about your Newsmax experience? Just tell folks about Newsmax if they haven't checked it out.
I think independence is a big part of what we have going for us here. You know, we're not a corporate entity. I mean, you can tell from our commercials. I mean, we're not beholden to, you know, I mean, there's even if you look at Fox these days, Fox is starting to feel more and more like ABC or CBS because, I mean, they want to retain these huge car dealerships and all these other. I mean, you see how Tucker gets in so much trouble all the time and they, you know, he loses his advertisers. You know, Fox doesn't want to play that game. They want to be a huge powerhouse media company. And that means you got to play by a lot of rules. And there's a lot of stories that, in my opinion, you kind of have to ignore, or that you kind of have to, you know, say. I mean, when you see Tony Fauci jumping on Fox News Channel, and you've seen it a couple times now, and they don't ask him any questions about whether, you know, the funding of the lab in Wuhan and all these things that Rand Paul's been investigating for the last 2 years, stuff that's legit. I mean, stuff that everybody knows is legit. You know, I mean, you can feel the of a network when they go that way. I mean, you know, when these big time guys, you know, that have, in my opinion, a lot of skeletons in the closet that feel safe to go on a network, you know there's something wrong there. You know that it's because, you know, whatever, Pfizer's, you know, buying, you know, $300 million in ads every year, however much it is. You know, that to me is a big problem with media, and it's a problem that we don't have here. You know, there's a sharp lack of independence in media.
We have we've shuffled a lineup, and your show is on 7 o'clock Eastern. I enjoy your narrative, I really do. You've got a great bedside manner, and I got to tell you, I'm just going to give you a little inside thing here. You know John Schneider from Dukes of Hazzard?
John Schneider. Yeah,
John Schneider. All right, so last night I got on the phone with John Schneider. I've gotten to know him working with Children's National Medical Center and Children's Miracle Network. And we were talking. He's got a new movie coming out. And we were getting in on, like, whatever. And he knows me, and he watches me. And he goes, do you know Rob Schmidt? I said, yeah. He goes, man, I really like his show. I really like his take on stuff. So there you go. You got one half of the Duke boys watching your show every day, bro. That's pretty big.
That's great. I appreciate that, Rob. Well, thank you, and thanks to him as well.
All right, Rob, thanks for joining me, man. Again, the series is...
Go ahead. Abuse of Power.
Yeah, of Power.
Abuse of Power, 7 o'clock Eastern Time on Newsmax, and re-airs at 11 o'clock. And, we're doing it all week.
All right, brother. Thank you, man. Have a glorious day, okay?
Thanks, Rob.
All right. By the way, make sure to DVR that. Go to Newsmax and DVR that show. And my show, Rob Carson's What in the World. Let's take a break. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show.
Ain't freedom of expression great? To follow Rob Carson on social media, go to Truth Social Getter, Facebook and Twitter, at Rob Carson Show.
Rob Schmidt rocks. He's awesome. Make sure to watch his show tonight. It is Abuse of Power. He's really good. I mean, really, 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 really good. I listen to every word. There are just a few people on television. I go, wow, you know, or media, you know, just because this is what I do for a living, and I don't have a lot of time. So, but Rob, I think you're gonna like his show. 7 o'clock on Newsmax TV. Go to newsmaxtv.com if you would do that. You know, my friend Jim Gossett is the guy who I write some of these parodies with him. He comes up with a lot of them on his own, and he's got a big a show coming up in Atlanta on the 27th. I'll be posting all the details on this, but he sent me a new one this morning. I guess it's about it's called "That's Just the Way Liz Is." So I'm assuming this is about Liz Cheney. Actually, I know it's about Liz Cheney. Enjoy. Jim Gossett on the Rob Carson Show.
Liz got beat, lost a seat. She wasn't gracious in defeat. She's probably blaming Trump.
There weren't enough lesbians.
She's a hack, that's a fact. She stabbed a party in the back. Oh, she was shaming Trump. So say goodbye to Liz.
Goodbye, Liz. You're never going to be president.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah, Mitt Romney. Nah.
So say goodbye to Liz. No one believed you. Father Dick, he looked sick. That dried apple on a stick.
Ooh, be careful.
He did a TV spot. Dick looked frail and kind of pale. Commercial was a major fail. Oh, it didn't help a lot. So say goodbye to Liz. That's just the way it is.
By the way, Jim Gossett, JimGossettComedy.com. If you want to find out where he's going to be in Atlanta on the 27th of this month, and as the show grows, and it is growing, by the way, it's growing by leaps and bounds. We are actually we're signing on KVI in Seattle. We're starting out on the weekends. Kind of cool. And this is the way a lot of affiliates do. They dip their toes into it on the weekends, and they go, "Holy crud! Look at the numbers here. We got to put Rob on." And that's why we're on in Philadelphia, Baltimore, Las Vegas, San Jose, Monterey, California, Norfolk, Virginia, Richmond, Virginia, Albuquerque, Reno, all over Nevada in Ely, Hawthorne, Pahrumpf, Fargo. Thank you very much. And it's growing. It's growing by leaps and bounds. And hopefully, on in New York City. New York City! Yeah, New York City. So if you would just share with others the Rob Carson Show as it grows across the country. Let's take a break. Come back. Wrap things up in a second. You are listening to the Rob Carson Show. All right, guys, that's going to do it for the show today. I am going to be on KVI in Seattle very shortly, around the bottom of the hour. If you want to listen to the conversation live, we're going to be talking about the day's events and the getting on this glorious station in Seattle, which I am thrilled. I am thrilled to be on the station. It's an honor with all of our affiliates to be on, guys. And this is a dream come true for me. Selling cars, a year ago, and now where I am. So I hope you're enjoying the show. If you get a chance to, if you do this, get the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast. It's called the Rob Carson Show podcast. And all you need to do for all of the information on that is just go to NewsmaxTV.com/podcast. It's growing. It's getting huge. I love you guys, and I appreciate your support. Stay strong, because we're going to win. Good always win. Evil loses, and you guys are good. God bless you. I will see you tomorrow. Until then, do not catch the stupid. See ya.